You're listening to Slightly Uncomfortable. Are you ready?
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
It worked that time.
Slightly Uncomfortable is back. Hi, boys.
Hello.
Howdy, howdy.
We are still social distancing.
Yep.
Mainly because we're lazy. And we know we can't get Lloyd out of the damn camper.
It seems like this has been going on for, what, 7, 8 years now, something like that?
I haven't worn britches since March.
That's why I wave from a distance.
Well, my office actually told me this week, they said, we're out until January.
Wow.
They're going to relook at all of their business model on saying, look, we're as productive, if not more so, since people have stayed home. Mm-hmm. And do we want to have this overhead? Do we want to have this people losing an hour, 2 hours out of their day to commute to an office? Mm-hmm. You know, there's not been as many sick days because sometimes people just don't feel like getting up and getting to the office. Mm-hmm. So they said, go on. We don't want to put your life on hold. You're good till January. And then we're going to revisit it.
Yeah. I think you're going to see that with a lot of different businesses. They're going to realize, hey, you know, all this work's still getting done and just as well, if not better. We don't need this much office space. We need some conference rooms where we can get together if we have to do it in person. But if we can get people to do this stuff from home, it's that much less, like you said, overhead on that.
I had a lawyer, the only lawyer I've ever had to retain, and he had an office in Lexington, and he was just in that office once a week. Mm-hmm. And he would rent that office space for that one day each week. Mm-hmm. And he would have a receptionist. He had a conference room. He had an office with a fax machine, computer, everything. But on the days he wasn't there, somebody else was in that office. Hmm. So his office day was Tuesday. Mm-hmm. He had all his meetings then. I'm like, that is absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Because you don't have to have anybody on your payroll, but if somebody calls your office, they got a receptionist.
I would say there's somebody there no matter what.
Yeah. And they had a conference room and everything. So, yeah. Anything new? We have something we have to discuss about Lloyd. Has nothing to do with the camper. Maybe it does. I don't know. I don't need the details.
Can't speak to the details now.
That's not where it went down.
No.
I bet it's went down there before. Yeah.
not the specific incidents we're talking about.
The shagging wagon. It's a laughing wagon. That's not why that little hand was up there at the time. It's, because it's time.
It's a fold down couch here, you know.
Nothing but the best.
Nothing but the best. Yeah, that's right.
So congratulations are in order.
Thank you.
Lloyd got hitched.
Yes.
Married.
Yes.
Woo.
I apparently, other than Caleb, I am blazing the trail towards everyone else getting married.
And I'm engaged. I got engaged.
Yeah. Yeah. So congratulations.
I can start using the word fiance.
Yeah.
Which is arguably one of the gayest words ever.
It kind of is.
Yeah, fiance. You can't say it without a slight lisp. Fiance. You just can't. It was funny. We told my kids this weekend, and I have a son, 11, two twin 9-year-old girls, and they were really excited. I'm like, you know, Jill and I got engaged. And they're like, oh, that's great, Daddy. Oh, we're so happy for you. And then the girl started to walk away, and my son goes, you do know that means they're going to be getting married to the girls? And they're like, really? And they got excited all over again. They hadn't really
connected
the two.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids today.
Yeah, yeah. So it's actually really cute. But we've got it's like that sitcom with had David Spade. Oh, what was
it? Shoot Me?
No, it had one couple had been married a long time.
How I Met Your Mother, or was still
Rules of Engagement? That. Rules of Engagement.
Rules of Engagement. Yeah. So in this dynamic, Caleb would be the Patrick Warburton character. And then Lloyd would be, I don't know, we would both be the other, there's no David Spade anymore before right. I was no. David Spade.
Right. Yeah.
Which
right.
I'd never want to say that phrase again. I have much better hair than David Spade. What are we drinking? Let's go over it quickly.
Who's first?
Well, we know
what
Lloyd.
You know what I'm drinking. Well,
let's just wait because Lloyd water. Lloyd water. Makes it special. Water. Right?
Water.
Way to step on
water.
It.
Water. Okay. keeping the tradition alive.
Yeah.
After all, why? He is camping.
Why break the streak, right? It's right. Hot out. He's got the windows open.
One of these days, I'm going to come on drinking bourbon and already be half looped, and you all won't know what to do.
You'll put sweet tea in a bottle. That's all you'll do. Caleb, what are you drinking?
I'm two-fisting it tonight. I got L8 on the side.
I like it.
And then got some Old Forester 1910. Yeah.
Man, it's good.
So, yeah, it's to me, it's the 1920 cut down.
Yeah.
That's about it. It's
that whole series is good.
Out of the four, this is the second best, in my opinion.
1920, 1910, 1897.
The bottled and bond one, yeah, I think 97 and then 87 or 67 or whatever. That's the shitty one.
I think they're actually all pretty good. I am two-fisting as well. I have water in here out of loving memory of Lloyd.
What? Water?
It's important to stay hydrated. You know, so I've got water. I'm chugging all. And I'm also drinking just the tried-true favorite of Four Roses Single Barrel.
Can't go wrong with that one.
Yeah, it's knocked it down to $30 a bottle. It's always at the house.
No martinis tonight.
You shut your whore mouth.
Martinis and the same question over and over and over.
I still don't know if Kentucky's a northern or a southern
state.
Yeah,
you know.
I have no idea because I wasn't listening, obviously.
he was given the question and just wasn't listening for any answers. Like I missed it somehow. Let me ask this rhetorical. Question again. It's rhetorical.
And before we get started, we're going to go and give the hair deposit a plug. All right. So if I get drunk,
pun
intended. I won't forget. I've got to get my hair cut again. I've got it cut one time post-COVID. I guess we're still not post-COVID, right? But post-opening shit back up.
Right.
But went to the hair deposit. Absolutely fantastic. Mike Stanley. You can look him up on the Book of Faces. Mike Stanley at the Hair Deposit. Also, he has a Facebook page. He would love you to log on there and like that page. $12 haircuts, $5 beard trims. But if you get them both at the same time, $15 out the door.
That is a bargain.
Right? We've talked about it. We're going to keep talking about it. Absolutely a fantastic place.
Is this 2020? What year is this? Wow. That's cheap.
You would think it, but you know. Yeah, exactly. He does have the barber pole out front. He's let me try out some beard oil because he wants to have his own beard oil, and I get to be the lucky guinea pig. Mm-hmm. If you have a haircut need and you currently possess more than $15, go to the hair deposit. Because if you only pay him $50, we're going to send Camp Boy out to get you.
Yeah. I'm going to actually save up some hair growth. And so I can go see Mike.
Well, you know.
I think it's important.
It's Tuesday. It's haircut day for Lloyd. We're going to have some sloppy Joes and cut Dad's hair.
That's right. It's a family affair.
Now, Caleb, have you had a haircut since everything opened up?
I have.
Did you go to the hair deposit?
No, I did not.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're not an ugly man.
No.
But you are uglier when you don't go to the hair deposit.
I've heard that before.
Well, no. We're the only ones that care enough about you to tell you the truth.
Tell the truth, yeah. It is downside of being in Lawrenceburg when he's in Frankfurt. But
well, you drive by it when you go to work.
It's a problem is I'm on my way to work or I'm on my way home. I'm not
on the way to the barbershop, evidently.
Yeah. Right. No. What it sounds like I need is more for the beard trim than anything else.
I will tell you what.
That's a heck of a deal.
All right, $5 by itself is a good deal.
Yeah.
But to have it lumped in for $3 extra, I mean, $15 to get both those done, that's crazy. Yeah. You can't even get a haircut done most places anywhere else for $15.
No. No, you so, can't.
I think over at, what is it, that Fantastic Sam's or whatever those things are now, that they call them Great Clips.
Great Clips.
Great Clips, yeah.
They are not,
no, it's,
they are not
you're, great. You're $18-$20 in the hole with them, and that's just for walking in the door.
And you got to hold your head sideways so your hair looks even. Mike, not with Mike Stanley, you don't.
Mike.
No. You know what? And there's no arguing that. Segway.
No.
That's what we're talking about tonight.
Arguing.
Arguing.
Yeah. Okay. We all do it.
We don't. No, we don't do that. What are you talking about?
You shut up. We do too. but arguing. Absolutely. You know, during this COVID shutdown, I would say there's a lot of people that have had a lot more experience with arguing than they've ever had before.
Yep. Yep.
Because a lot of times you just get tired of seeing one another's face all the time.
I'm sure the family dynamic has changed for so many people.
Oh yeah.
Just being home together is like, there has got to be an uptick in arguing.
Well, hell, you know, go ahead, Caleb.
As I say, we know divorces went up in China after they started lifting restrictions.
Wow.
That was one of the first things that happened is they saw their divorce rate skyrocket.
Wow. I would guarantee you the same thing's happening here.
A whole lot of arguing going on there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't know that arguing is necessarily a bad thing all the time. No. I think when done correctly, it can increase communication and make people aware of problems that they may have not have known existed, right? Mm-hmm. But obviously, arguing can absolutely be a cancer to a relationship. Mm-hmm. And as we see with the increased divorce rates, when you see what's going on in the street. Now, we talked about protesting last week, and I thought mm-hmm. it was a great show that I'm going to need to edit and get it out there. But that starts with an argument, right? This is my opinion.
Right.
You're not listening to me. Now I need to do something to get your attention. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what an argument is. Now, boys, I did some research.
All right.
It's called chill prep.
Quickly.
Yeah.
What's that?
I will tell you what, man, you give me an internet browser in about 15 minutes, I can do some damn show prep. Because it's like Rain Man count toothpicks.
I was going to say, the first 30 seconds is something else, and then the rest.
That's a different type of research, Caleb. I already have bookmarks for that shit, okay? Daddy has preferences is what I'm saying. So, I'm going to quiz you guys.
Okay.
I found five primary reasons that folks get in arguments. And we're talking about today, to make sure everybody's aware, talking about relationships.
Okay.
I guess every engagement that we have with somebody is a different level of a relationship one way or another, yeah. Be it your neighbor, your work associate, your boss, your spouse, children.
These are focused on personal life, not like work.
Professional
things or political things or things like that.
Correct. Unfortunately now though, lines are starting to get blurred that were never blurred before. But guys, give me some reasons that you think that most people would get in arguments.
Money.
I think that's probably either one or two on the top five list is money.
That's spending, saving, you know, earning. Mm-hmm. All those things combined leads to arguments.
Well, and it's about perspective. Are you frugal? Mm-hmm. Are you cheap? Are you too loose with your money? Mm-hmm. Are you impulsive? Mm-hmm. Right? Or do you hoard it? You know, when you see a lot of families, I know I can think about my mom and dad when I was a kid, that was a concern. And especially because my dad was the breadwinner. My mom was a stay-at-home mom a long time. And, man, that can really cause a rift because she spends most of the money because she's a home provider. She's doing the grocery shopping. She's putting gas in vehicles. She's doing laundry. She's doing all that stuff.
Paying the bills.
Exactly. And then dad, all he does is earn it because he's never home long enough to spend it.
Right.
But when something comes up short, what are you doing with my money? Oh, when that happened in James's house, I just went to my room. I knew I was going to be, I had nothing, nobody bothering me for the next 3 days.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was for us. It was for dad, it was my money. What are you doing with my money?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And anybody that has lost their job due to COVID or whatever and has become a stay-at-home parent, you understand the value of what our mamas did when we were kids. Mm-hmm. Because that's one of the hardest dang-on jobs anybody could ever possibly have. And there's no getting away from it. You are at work 24/7. But yeah, absolutely money. I think that's got to be number one, number two. What else? Who else?
Your turn.
Yeah. Lloyd?
Lloyd, I have to have an idea.
And he's referring to himself in third person. I like that.
I would say in a family dynamic, probably how to raise children and that, you know, your ideas towards spanking, your ideas towards what value system, your ideas towards what religious system, just in general, I could see where people butt heads over that.
TV time, dinner, all that stuff. You know,
video game time.
Yeah.
Wake up time, go to bed time. Yeah. Does the kid sleep in the bed with you? Yeah. If it wakes up in the middle of the night, does it not?
You're too strict on this child. You're not strict enough on this child.
You're giving this one more attention than you get this one. You're showing favoritism.
Yep.
Right. And I know with me just now getting engaged, little plug there. It's different now too, because I have three children I bring to the relationship. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're 11 and 9. And then she has two children she brings to the relationship and they're 18 and 15. And what type of, is she an advisor to me and I'm an advisor to her? Obviously we're not those children's parent.
What authority level do you have?
Mm-hmm. What respect level should they give?
Right.
You know, so, it really, I think kids are definitely in that top five. And not just kids, but family. Because now we're all getting to the age, Caleb will get there in about 2 or 3 decades, but we're getting to the age to where now we have to be more hands-on with our parents.
Right.
Than ever before.
Right.
And I know there was, even when I was younger, I had ladies that took issue with my relationship with my mom because they thought I was putting my mom before them, you know, and in hindsight, I'm glad I did because those bitches left me. Yeah. Mama never did. So I'm just saying, but I mean, there's just a lot more pull because you not only have to be a parent here, you have to be a caregiver or a parent or an advisor, you know. I mean, just like running to the store, Lloyd and I was talking about prior to the show starting, that he's running errands for his parents. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously taking time away from what he can do at home with his wife and child. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely. I think we can just say family is a huge contributor to tension at home.
That's what I was going to add. It was the family aspect, because it's not only those, just like you said, in situations where the spouse maybe doesn't get along with your family or you don't get along with theirs. And then you've got holidays or birthday parties or whatever you got to go to. And it's just always a struggle, I guess. You know, that's like you're saying, you know, it probably end up leading to the end of a relationship or two. I know it did for me at one point, is that just the two couldn't come together in any way. And I was always in the middle. And I was like, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah.
They say you need to be married for a few years before you buy your house, because you need to find out how close or far away you need to move to your in-laws.
I like it.
Well, mine are about 6,000 miles away.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, but Nikki can't say the same. That's the problem.
Right.
But, you know, I think that on a little bit of a sidebar here, what do you think? You know, we all are going to have in-laws or have in-laws, right? What do you think your role is to bridge between your spouse and your family?
I mean, I definitely think you should be in that position as, like you said, a bridge between the two. If it's between my family and Nikki, like that, definitely should be that, but I shouldn't have to be the go-between. Like if they have a disagreement, they're all adults and they need to have it out, and that's fine. But I mean, at the end of the day, I gotta have to go home with her. So
no, you get to.
Yeah,
you get to.
We need to work with the young pup, don't
okay.
we? You get to.
Yeah. Well,
when my book's thrown at you, you keep that shit up.
In my situation, they'd keep her and get rid of me, so it doesn't really matter.
That's when you know you marry well, is when they
prefer
so I'm not worried about spouse over you.
That's right.
How about you, Lloyd?
Well, I'd say luckily in my situation, it's like I don't really have to get in the middle of that. It's like my parents and everything are real good with my wife and everything, and it's never really been a big issue. So I really haven't had to step into that role of mediator.
Yeah, I think
like that, so.
Bridge builder, mediator. Mm-hmm. I've always thought in the issues that I've had, my many relationships, is when my partner wasn't an advocate for our relationship to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think as adults, we need to be careful when we are venting with our family around, that we don't present our spouse in a poor light. You know, agreed, we need to be open with our family, but there are certain things that your family doesn't need to know about your relationship.
Right.
Because they're only hearing one side. And when you do that, your spouse doesn't have a voice.
And they're already going to see your side in a better light anyway.
Right.
If it's your family.
Right.
So they're already going to put you on that pedestal, essentially, and then take it further when they only get one side of the story.
I'm not going to say lie, but I'm kind of saying lie.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've had a shitty night with your spouse, don't go to mom and daddy tomorrow at breakfast and tell them how much of a road whore she is. You know, because tomorrow when y'all have made up, they still think she's a road whore because that came out of your mouth. And you were the one that's supposed to love her. So what are they supposed to think?
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
So I think that's a way to avoid some of that. But I think absolutely family is going to be a stressor in causing arguments. Anything else?
So we said money, family.
You're missing a big one.
I mean, time is one I always think of. Like,
you know what?
That's might fall under family, but
no, that's great.
How you spend your time.
How you spend your free time.
Yeah. Whether it's with your spouse, do you all do things together, or you know, do you always do things separate, or do you have your own? You have your own balance. Like you do things apart, you do things together, all that kind of stuff. You know, are you always going and doing what you want to do while they're left holding the bag and all the responsibilities? So,
you know, I think that's absolutely a huge, huge thing. I mean, you know, a guy goes out, and I hate to say it, a person goes out and works all day. Comes home, and the first thing they want to do is watch a ball game or watch a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've spent 8, 9, 10 hours away from their spouse. Now they're choosing to spend multiple hours still not engaging with their partner.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the partner's fine with that. In that regard, it's never going to be an issue, right?
Right. Right.
But it's when there's that issue with what you're preferring to do this over spending time with me. Right. Going out and spending all night with the boys. Mm-hmm. Coming home drunk. I'm not saying I'm speaking from experience, but most of the time I'm already at home when I get drunk. So it's not, it's just me trying to get my ass to bed. But I think free time, absolutely. You know, and Lloyd is a gamer. Mm-hmm. You may not know that about Lloyd. Lloyd's a gamer.
Gamer.
And I've known Lloyd a long time. And I know sometimes, I think you would agree, Lloyd, finding that balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
it's difficult sometimes. So it's like there's something about game time for me that just is just kind of a wind down, a time to chill. And I don't have the hours that I used to have when I was single to just do that whenever I needed to, you know, so.
And a lot of times partners don't understand why we do those things. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you know, luckily Caleb has a partner that understands.
Mm-hmm.
Why he likes to go hunt.
That she takes like out, it all the time.
Right.
She understands.
But it takes out large blocks of time that she's now responsible for their son. She's now at home. She's now getting to do all those things that he walked away from for that period of time. Mine is sports, and mine is I do a little bit of gaming as well. So, but I think conveying to your spouse why these things are important to you, not that they're more important than they are, but by having time doing this stuff, it makes my time with you better. Right? It makes it not better for me, but it makes me a better person to be around. Because I like to fish. Fishing is a hard thing to explain to a spouse that don't like to fish.
That doesn't like it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And especially when I come home from fishing, the first thing I will do is take a nap. So I've been out doing exactly what I've wanted to do for 5, 6, 7 hours. I come home, take a shower, first thing I want to do is sleep for two. That's hard. It's hard to explain that, right? I think free time's huge. I think you all are missing the biggest one, though.
I was going to say, what also is hard to explain is, what time are you coming home? Dark.
Yeah.
Depends on how they're biting.
I know.
Or maybe not.
Yeah, exactly. Or it depends on, am I planning to leave the woods at noon and then a turkey gobbles or deer walks out? Well, that's probably added 2 hours to my day right there.
Or maybe I have to poop and I have to come home early.
Exactly.
Because daddy don't use a leaf no more.
I know the thing more so, of course, I'm not really a hunter, but the thing that I get in trouble for most is when I'm going to work on something, doing some mechanical work with my brother-in-law or something, and it's like, it always takes like 3 times longer than you think. He's always like, yeah, come on over, we got to do this, and it won't take long at all. And like 6 hours later, we're still working on it. It's like, but there's no way to judge how long this going to take.
You never know.
Well, and it also adds stress to, especially in a situation like what you're talking about, Lloyd, when it's supposed to have been a 2-hour job, and it turned into a 6-hour, and you know honey's upset.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And you're already frustrated.
Yep.
Because what was supposed to take 2 hours has now had 3 trips to the store, a couple of busted knuckles, more. And so that's a really nasty recipe to come home to. Both of you frustrated.
Because you're dreading finishing the job, you're also dreading coming home afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things that's kind of no fault of your own. It's not like
anyone's fault.
I went out for a drink and I actually got drunk and hung out with a bunch of people. It's not like really decisions that you made caused that, but you know you're still in trouble.
There's nothing wrong with doing that.
I went to take care of this thing and this thing turned into this thing.
Yes.
And it just.
I think the best thing, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, best thing that's happened for relationships in the last 30 years is 2 things, cell phone and the pause button on the DVR. Because now if I'm in the middle of a sporting event and honey needs something, pause.
Yep.
Yeah.
She walks in front of the TV or my kid walks in front of the TV, pause.
Yep.
I don't miss a thing. Or if I miss something, rewind.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
And also, when Lloyd's at the garage working on this project, and it's going to go from 2 hours to 6, he can pick up the cell phone and either text or call and hopefully deaden or push down that situation by the time he gets home. Because when my dad, when I was a kid, they didn't have those things. And when daddy come home late, mama thought he may be dead. He may be laid up with some whore over in South Frankfort. Any number of things, right? He came in and she's like, are you okay?
Check.
As soon as he said yes.
And then it's on.
Right? I mean, so
if you're okay, where the hell were you?
Right.
It also makes things worse if we choose not to use those tools.
Yeah. Why didn't you were supposed to? You didn't call me. I texted you 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. What's the big one you're missing, boys? Come on now. Don't disappoint me. Dog it.
I can't think of.
Sex! And not just sex, but physical intimacy. And when I say physical intimacy, it's more than putting A into B and equaling C, right? It's holding hands. It's it's kissing one another when you get home.
Is that a big source of arguments?
Yes, Doug. Lloyd, whatever the fuck your name is.
Okay,
yes.
I didn't know.
You didn't know. Oh, because daddy just brings it like a champ in the camper. Jesus Christ. Yeah, absolutely. Wait, all right, Lloyd, you were aware of my first marriage. Do you think that was a problem for me?
It could have been, slightly.
My every 30-day nut that she allowed slightly, me to have?
Slightly.
Jesus.
Slightly, yeah.
I will tell you what, Caleb, to this day, I hate lingerie. Because when my first wife would wear lingerie one day out of the month, I was like Pavlov's dog. I knew I was getting laid. And if she didn't come to bed in lingerie,
no,
I'm whistling Dixie.
Nothing.
I'm sneaking off in the bathroom.
Yep.
You know. So yeah, I think sex is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And if a relationship's going good, any type of sex will work. Mm-hmm. But if a relationship's going bad, there's no amount of sex that can fix it.
It's kind of like it's kind of like money. It's like if there's enough of it, the sex or money. Everything's fine. It's only when that drops below a certain threshold to where
one of you.
Money's a problem or sex is a problem, then it's an issue.
Because you know, physical intimacy means more than just sexual or physical pleasure. It's a connection that if you get used to not having that connection, it's really difficult to get that connection back. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a preacher tell me when I was a little kid, and I still remember it because I think it's still important. He says, never let little things in a relationship become common. You know, remember the first time you held that lady's hand. Mm-hmm. Remember that. Keep that in the forefront. Don't let that just be common, that it doesn't evoke any feelings, right? And I think that when that gets off kilter, it's about balance, right? Scales. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whether it be money, sex, whatever, you got to have things in balance. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people in relationships are out of tune with what it looks like when things get out of balance. They're numb to it. They stop noticing those things. So yeah, I think that, and also physical intimacy gives us self-worth. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty bad when the person that says that they love you every night when they go to bed don't want to do that with you.
Right.
Or chooses to be selfish, or it just not being a priority.
Right.
So how does that make you feel about yourself? I mean, it's just a big...
I think that the priority thing, or part of that probably leads to a big chunk of the argument is it's a priority for one and not for the other. And, you know, is there ever a... One of you's got to give, essentially, in that position. It's either the person that it's not a priority for has to make an effort to make it one, at least once every 30 days or whatever.
I can't see lingerie no more.
Don't say lingerie. Don't say lingerie.
No, no.
James has a panic attack when the Victoria's Secret catalog comes in.
Shut it up. I can't watch that damn show when they do that. Runway thing?
No. He hates those garters.
I cannot stand. It was a red teddy. I hate the color red.
He hates the color. He hates the style.
Lord.
I determined after my divorce, I said, I will never let anyone else tell me when I get to have sex. Ever. So far, I've done all right with it. But but it's not about being selfish. It's not about having sex. Again, it's about stroking that ego. You know, and saying, I want you. I desire you. Also, your feelings and what makes you happy is important to me.
Right.
Right. I'll tell any woman that was willing to listen, even if you're not that you're obligated to, not that it's your responsibility, but 5 minutes out of your day and you'll have you a dog that will follow you around like a puppy. Mm-hmm. All a guy needs is 5 minutes. That's it. Whether it's in the morning, evening, 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, you got your yard mowed. Your car's worked on. You know, there's flyers coming into the house. Oh, yeah. 5 minutes.
You know, this is kind of a tangent, but I think that the way that certain religions view sex adds to that problem. Because it's like it becomes not a big deal in somebody's life because religious reasons or whatever, you know. Oh well, sex is for procreation or whatever, or
right.
You know, I'm not, you know, there's nothing that says I really need to take care of you as a woman, you know. Right.
Right. You're there to serve me.
Or you're told the other way is you're told your whole life that it's this terrible, awful thing and you shouldn't think about it. You shouldn't talk about it.
Yep.
It doesn't exist and all this kind of stuff. And then once you get married, it's, oh, here you go.
Right.
Go for it. And you have no idea what's.
You're told as a kid and, you know, it's not really told, but it's implied the better it feels, the worse it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, right. Right. If it feels good, it must be more of a sin.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, nobody, that God doesn't want you doing that. I'm like, well, by God, I do. And I need you to put your finger in my ear while you do it. That's what I need from you right now. 5 minutes is what I need. Just 5 minutes. That's all I need. All right. So we've talked about the top five reasons, and we're going to go over those again.
Did we get all five?
We did. Oh, okay. Well, we did. Well, there's one that, and I don't think we would have gotten it. And I don't really know that it's a reason, but I'm going to mention it anyway. Housework. And I think we can summarize that with household chores.
Or responsibilities.
Like. Yeah, responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You know, the yard hasn't been mowed this week. It ain't going to mow itself. Right. I don't have a clean shirt to wear. Are we ever going to do laundry?
Thanks,
we've had manwich for 3 days in a row. I'm tired of my damn manwich. And yes, it does need hamburger. I don't care how you fix it. You know, so sheets are dirty. You know, garbage hasn't been taken out.
Yep.
And Lloyd and I can attest to this more than anyone else because we tried to be roommates for a year. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that our friendship is still around.
It's still a wonder. I still say this to this day.
Had it not been an effort on his part and my part to bring it back together. That could have been a relationship, and thank God it wasn't, that we never spoke to each other ever again. Mm-hmm. And it had nothing to do. We always paid our bills on time.
Yep.
That rent was never an issue. It was just cohabitating together. Mm-hmm. And his mindset and my mindset coming together for harmony. Mm-hmm. And we had a hard time with harmony.
We did.
But I'll tell you what, that some bitch can cook some biscuits in the morning. I'm going to tell one story on him, and then I'm going to let it go. Because this is a great story. We were dumb enough when we were roommates to say, you buy the groceries 1 week, and I'll buy the groceries the next week. Remember that, Lloyd?
Yeah, I think so.
And we had this list of staples that you can buy whatever groceries you want to. But we always have these items in the house. So when you go to the grocery, you buy. And they were like Kraft American cheese. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we had Oreos on there or something. Biscuits for Lloyd. That damn
biscuits.
That man's body was built on a biscuit. And which I don't mind. I don't mind a good biscuit.
On a biscuit or like a biscuit?
Yes. I don't know if you noticed that, Lloyd. That was a shock to you.
I'm trying to ignore that.
That boy, you couldn't live with him either.
I'm going to let him go.
But, and also lunch meat. And back in the day, and even to this day, I'm a big fan of bologna. And Lloyd likes him some bologna as well. So we were at the kind of edge of where we were getting irritated with one another. And I don't think we ever got in a fight, per se, but we just getting irritated.
Yeah.
I come home at lunch, and I wanted to fix me a bologna sandwich. Lloyd had went to the grocery. And I looked up and down in that damn refrigerator everywhere I could to find me a slice of damn bologna. And wasn't nothing in there. And he came home and I'm like, hey, you go to the grocery? Yeah. Did you get everything? Yeah. I'm like, ain't no damn bologna anywhere in his house. He goes, it's right there in the refrigerator. I'm like, the hell it is? I looked in that refrigerator at lunchtime. There were no damn bologna. He goes, yeah, it is. Look in that jar. Some bitch bought floating bologna. Pickled bologna.
Pickled bologna.
Look like a damn intestine.
I would do that.
Refrigerator.
Like some sort of science experiment gone awry.
You don't eat.
I've got to leave this in. This has to stay in formaldehyde so it stays alive.
And then he had the audacity to say, "Got a hell of a deal on it." I'm glad you did.
Speaking of biscuits, I can remember this was back in, you know, early days of multiplayer computer games, and we would play like Diablo 2 in separate rooms to play, you know, together. And mm-hmm. I can remember having to come in there when he would have technical difficulties, and I was just like eating on a biscuit. It's like, you know.
Yeah, and it's not a good sight to see when you see a man of his magnitude coming in your bedroom with his tidy whities on.
he was either having computer problems or there might have been a storm coming. I needed to look out his window.
God. But it's just, it's difficult to find people, you know, you can be around people that you absolutely love, mm-hmm. but you can't live with them. No. So I think this needs to be on that list, is just cohabitating.
Yeah.
One thing that made my mom and dad argue more than anything else I could cite in their 49 years of living together was the thermostat.
Oh, gosh.
My dad could sense if my mom brought it up 1 degree. Or down 1 degree. My mom was always cold. My dad was always hot. And if dad wouldn't adjust it, I'd hear my mom go, "Jimmy, hit that thermostat again, didn't you?" "Oh, damn, it's just 1 degree." She goes, "If it's not that important, you shouldn't be doing it." And as soon as I hear that, James goes to his bedroom. I got another good 2-3 days. Ain't nobody gonna mess with me.
Yeah. My mom and dad did the same exact thing. As a kid, we had an oil stove that was in the center of the house, and it was a you know, had a blower and fan on it that you could adjust everything. And for whatever reason, it's like they were arguing over. Said, "You need to put that fan back on first blower. It don't need to be up any higher than that." You know, it was winter time, and it was like 55 degrees in the house. It's like, "We're gonna burn up too much oil. You got it up too high.
You're being all willy-nilly with our oil." And my mom would get mad at my dad for mowing the grass too short. And she'd look out there and go, "You mowed it on 3, didn't you?" "Damn it, I told you, I mowed it on 4.
You scalped it again."
"If we mow it shorter, we don't have to do it as often." She goes, "I ain't doing it at all. I don't care. I want it on 3. You know, so yeah, or 4, yeah. So, all right, now we've defined reasons people argue, right? But there's also, and I found this to be interesting, there is unexpected psychological reasons that people get in fights. Something above just the obvious, right? Mm-hmm. And I found these interesting. See if you'd agree with this. Number one, and not in any particular order. This isn't a top 5, top 4 list. You or your partner is not getting enough sleep.
It makes you irritable. So, makes sense.
That's absolutely number one in our household. Absolutely really? Number one. At number one, yeah. Our child does not sleep through the night, so we are up every single night in the middle of the night for an undetermined amount of time. It might be 15 minutes, it might be 3 hours, but he is up every single night.
I know when Ben was born, that was just kind of the same thing, as you know, the feedings and that kind of stuff. Is he was one that actually would sleep. Like, we would have to go and wake him up and be like, "It's time for you to eat." And kind of thing. So we were lucky.
Well, other parents hate you is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. But what it meant is that we had to set an alarm for ourselves for 2 to 3 hours, which meant we were waking ourselves up every 2 to 3 hours. You talk about screwing up a sleep cycle, mm-hmm. and then wanting to punch anything and everything that came near you for whatever reason. Like, that's a lot of irritation. I mean, I remember the 2 days, I guess, that we were in the hospital or whatever. And that was the thing, is they wanted you to feed him every 2 hours. So it's, she feeds him, lays him down.
Changes him.
Yeah. I change him because she's in the bed. Alarm, 2 hours, go to sleep as fast as you can. And then it's like, it's that feeling that as soon as you fall asleep, your alarm goes off kind of thing. Like, it just jerks you right back out of it. And that's what it felt like over and over again. So, yeah.
When my kid's mom had, we had our twins. They were natural twins, as far as we didn't use any fertility drugs or anything like that. So that put us on a list there, because now there's so many folks that utilize fertility medications that the likelihood of twins being coming from that is heightened. So when you don't use any of that stuff, you're on a list. Then she was also breastfeeding both of the girls. So that's all. We were at UK, so we're at a teaching hospital. So people wanted to come see the natural twins, wanted to come see the breastfeeding twins. And they also were my girls were 7 pounds 15 ounces and 7 pounds 11 ounces when they were born, 4 weeks premature. So they were big girls.
Yeah.
So when we were in there, and UK is a great hospital, I'm not saying anything bad about it, but our girls actually slept pretty good in the hospital. And we were able to get 2-3 hours solid sleep, mm-hmm. except for all the damn people coming in to look at the twins. You know, these interns coming to do their rounds at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
How's everybody doing? We're fucking sleeping. So this is no joke. Because, yeah. I mean, she went through a C-section. That's surgery, mm-hmm. right? So not only is she going through a surgery she's trying to recover from, now she can't get any sleep for the damn hospital staff. One night, we got woke up from people taking the fucking garbage out at 3 a.m. We didn't ask for the garbage to be taken out. Tons of bitches just showed up. So yeah, I told her, I said, we were in the hospital 4 days. The last 2 days, I put my chair out in front of that door and just set guard. And as soon as the trash guy come up, I'm like, not tonight, not now. And the interns come back, we need to check. No, you don't.
No.
You're here for her and the girls and me if we need something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We don't need for you to write your thesis on us. So, yeah, I mean, sleep deprivation is terrible. Absolutely terrible. And again, like what you're saying, Lloyd, what you're saying, Kel, when you can't control it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is going on in one of your all's houses?
It's him.
Me?
Lloyd, is there some sort of an animal being tortured?
No, there is looking out the front window here, my child is out on the trampoline and is hollering and having a blast.
Well, that's no problem. You know, that's sounds of happiness.
Yeah, he's hollering. He's having fun.
Well, so good.
Sound
good.
Like a goat sacrifice in the background.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm like, God damn it.
Well, I've got a sheep. I've got chickens. So there's no telling what you're liable to hear out there.
Gotcha.
We're not going to touch that one. All right,
speaking of not getting enough sleep. Now, you know, I can sleep for 30, 45 minutes, whatever, and like feel refreshed. Like if I'm really tired, I can lay down for just a little while. So my wife, it's a 4, 5, 6 hour block that she needs. It's like there is no little nap with her. It's like it is a whole afternoon if she goes and takes a nap. So sometimes that's an issue too.
Well, going back to when Lloyd and I lived with each other, another thing that I hated about him. We'd be watching the UK basketball game. He and I are both huge UK fans. He'd be over on the couch and there'd be like a timeout and he would say, I'm going to take a nap. I'm like, fucker, what?
TV timeout.
He said, wake me up when the timeout's over. I'm like,
it's probably halftime. Probably halftime.
Well, no, you would do it at halftime, but you had done it at timeouts before. And I'm like, that's not my responsibility. I said, and this is the time that we should be talking about the game. I look over and he's napping. And he wakes up and goes, you didn't wake me up when you're supposed to. I'm like, well, fuck, it was 3 seconds. But he can go flat into REM sleep.
Yep. Like, yep. Yep, sure can.
Oh, man.
Anyway, all right, so not enough sleep. Yeah. You're not authentic. Now, what that means is, and I had to read about it, is you're not you're not really getting down to what's bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say that it really irritates, or I really hate it when you do this, but in reality, you've got something else bugging you, something else that's on your mind, something else that's a more difficult conversation. Or may present you in a poorer light,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. Now, as a guy, I think this is not a great illustration, but we can say it. Maybe you're going out somewhere with your spouse and you pick a fight with them because you put on a new shirt and she didn't tell you you look nice. Because we do dress and we do want to look good for our spouse.
Right.
Right. We're not dressing up for other people. We're dressing up for them. Just like they want to be told they're pretty, guys want to be told, hey, you really look nice tonight. Mm-hmm. Your haircut looks nice. Mike at the hair deposit did a great job on your hair.
Good job.
Yeah, right.
But most guys are not going to look at their spouse because we're supposed to be this stereotypical guy that doesn't get upset for things such as that. So we'll pick a fight about something else. We're not being authentic. Mm. about what's really bothering us.
I can see that. I could also see it being in a relationship aspect is if you're one person to your spouse, whether it's you're dating or you're married or whatever, but then when you go out in public, you have a completely different persona or attitude or whatever. You say different things and maybe voice different opinions about things than what you do in private and that kind of stuff. So you're not an authentic person. You play to your crowd, I guess, too much. So then they're always going to be left wondering,
who's the real you?
Is this the real you? Or yeah, which one am I actually with? Kind of thing.
And you'll see that happen when you go out to in like parties, mm-hmm. and company functions and stuff, when you meet spouses of people whom you've worked with for a while, and you can tell that they're not comfortable being there at all, mm-hmm. when their two worlds are colliding, when they have to be relationship James and work James. Mm-hmm. So I think that's absolutely right. Yeah, when we're not authentic, it poses problems.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I can totally see that. So
yeah, I think that's a little lot deeper than probably we have the ability to delve down into. Yeah. But yeah,
right.
This one I think is great, and I came up with this one because a buddy of mine told me this several years ago. You're hungry, and I'm like, what? He goes, you're hungry. I always thought he had a great relationship with his wife. I thought they were just a perfect couple, and they always seemed to be in harmony with one another when I was around them. Obviously, that's not the case. No one's always in harmony. Mm-hmm. But I asked him one time, and I don't normally ask people for advice because that's not the thing I do. But I said, man, how do y'all get like that? He goes, you know what? Before we ever fight, if we feel ourselves getting ready to get in a fight, we eat. And if we're still angry, by the time that meal or that snack's over, we'll continue. But if we're not, must not have been that big a deal. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, in you know, retrospect, I could probably say that I had a lot of fights trying to find a fucking restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't care where we eat. But this doesn't work.
I don't care. You choose a place. I don't like that place.
Yeah, I don't like that place.
But, I mean, I think that it's probably a lot. That's not nearly serious enough for this conversation, but I do think there's some cause and effect there.
That does. It leads to a lot of arguments of the indecisiveness or, you know, those types of things. Like, and it may be over something just trivial.
Right.
You were talking about, you know, no couple has a perfect relationship, but that's like I've said for years, you know, growing up in the religious background that I did, just the pressure was to have that facade of a great relationship with a couple.
A Facebook relationship.
And I've always said, it's like, you don't have any idea what happens at home with those people. You don't know if there's physical abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse. You don't have any idea what's going on because in public they are putting on a facade.
They're not authentic. It goes back to not being authentic.
Or you look at it this way, it doesn't even have to be situations as serious as what you're saying. You think about growing up in the church or anything like that, is you could have got the ever-loving shit beat out of you at home that morning for doing something wrong that you shouldn't have, and mama or whatever be mad at you, but you pull into that church parking lot, oh, hey, Susie, how are you doing? And, oh, yeah, we're running a little late this morning. Head on to Sunday school. Like, everybody's happy.
Makeup. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everybody's happy and smiling and whatever. And then as soon as you get back in that car, you're back in trouble again for whatever it was you did that morning. But that you get that break in there.
I think I saw this
to put out to the public.
When I was a kid, I mean, my mom and my dad, and I make them sound like they're Hatfield and McCoy. But, I mean, they were together 49 years, married for 49 years. They must have been doing something right.
Right.
But my mom and dad be going at it. I mean, just going at it. Not cussing or calling names, but I mean, just really, really tearing each other. And that damn phone ring, and my mom go, hello? You know, just going to a whole different, you know, personality. And I'm like, well, now, which part of that's real? Because I was a little guy. You know, I'm like, mama was just getting ready to throw a bowling ball at my daddy. But AT&T called, and now all of a sudden, she's just a little sweet princess.
Right.
So
how do you turn that on and off?
I don't know. I can't do it. y'all see me angry. Yeah. Phone call ain't gonna help me. And then the fourth one that they said was, you're too rational to be reasonable. And a lot of times we get into the middle of a argument, and men probably are more predisposed to this than ladies. We want to be rational. We want to make our point rational. And mm-hmm. we get our feet stuck in dirt, and we're not moving because this is a rational argument now. We can't be reasonable because we've made it so rational.
Mm-hmm.
If it makes sense this way, I can't deviate from it because therefore it doesn't make sense. Right? We've yeah. made this so concrete that there's no room for compromise. Mm-hmm. Because it's pretty much us saying, well, if you were smart, you would believe this. Mm-hmm. And if I don't believe it now, I'm telling you I'm not smart. So we're not going to give way on that. So we've argued the wrong way. We're going to talk about that in a minute. How do you argue the wrong way? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I don't think it's as obvious as the rest.
No. I'd say that one's a little deeper.
Then we can go
into that. Yeah. Because that's, I don't know.
All right. There's a phrase that came out when Doug and I were younger and Caleb was a sperm.
Okay.
That was called fair fighting. Mm-hmm. The ability for couples to fight fairly. Now, before we get into how to do that, there was a little website I found. This is on lifehack.com that talked about some sneaky ways that people fight
mm-hmm.
that probably are not going to be productive as far as harmony at home.
I would say you're getting ready to unleash a list of triggers for me.
Maybe. And I think we should probably talk about triggers mm-hmm. at the end of this. I think that's a great segue.
That's probably one of the unfair things that you do is you can
the bring triggers. Up
something. That, yeah, the buttons to push
mm-hmm.
To end the argument or to get it to stop or whatever.
Yeah. Now, they said use those punchy one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
Or I call this fluff words, fluff terms. Mm-hmm. And they list them as, well, that begs the question as one of the little sayings that we would use. Or that's okay. beside the point.
Yeah, that's beside.
Or you're being defensive.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the last one is don't compare apples to oranges. Those little pesky one-liners that we default to when we can't come up with something else to say.
Yeah,
that are I don't like your argument, but I don't have a way to counter it in any way, so I'm gonna come up with something else to say that doesn't actually counter your argument in any way.
Yeah, it just gives me time to think about something.
Right. Yeah.
That hopefully I can use to refute it. But right now, that's beside the point.
It's like it looks like I'm losing this argument. So I don't really need to get my point across now because,
Well, it's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so easy to say those things. Also, another one is you ridicule and humiliate your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I always harken back to this. This is before Caleb's time because it was, 4 or 5 years ago. But there was a, and Doug will remember this, Luke or Lloyd, both of them. Kevin. We'll remember this on Weekend Update with Dan Aykroyd and Jane Curtin when they would do point counterpoint on Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
And Jane Curtin would say something that Dan Aykroyd couldn't refute, and he would come out with, Jane, you ignorant slut, before he said something.
Yep.
We want to push people down to elevate ourselves.
Or even, I don't know if Caleb is a wrestling fan, but even later than that, The Rock would say, well, what do you think about this? It doesn't matter what you think.
But we set the bar that we're already superior before we engage in this.
That's what I was going to say. This may get into, if we get into the how to argue stuff, but that's all you see on social media anymore. People don't actually discuss any point counterpoints. There's no arguing back and forth. It's the, you made a point that I don't like, I can't refute it. So you're ugly and stupid and
you smell bad,
whatever. Yeah. I'm just going to insult you now.
you're a racist.
Yeah.
Or as Lloyd will call me, I'm a liberal.
Yeah, I was like, you're a racist, you're a Nazi, you're a
fascist, liberal,
socialist.
You're a fascist, you're a communist, you're a socialist, you know, all those trigger words, right? Yeah, to push those buttons and just insult people. Same thing with the I don't have a counterpoint to your argument, but you made a typo, so I'm gonna call you out on that and just berate you for
well if you could type words. I could understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You use the wrong version of your.
Yeah.
so
your point's so your point's invalid and I win this argument. That always gets on my nerves too.
Well, and this is a lengthy list, so I don't want to deliberate on them too much, but the next one says you deliberately provoke your adversary. And that's what you were saying earlier, is you know your adversary's buttons and you go at it. Mm-hmm. When I play Lloyd in poker, I know Lloyd's buttons. When I play Lloyd in video games, I know Lloyd's buttons.
Yes, you do.
And I start pushing them.
Yes.
Sometimes when I'm losing, but sometimes just for fun when I'm winning. I have made
If Paul Pierce makes one more three-pointer, I'm quitting.
And sure enough, next time, make it rain. It's for three, and Lloyd's gone. He has physically left my home in the middle of a video game. Screw you guys. I'm going home. But, deliberately, and that happens, I think, so much in relationships.
Bringing up old arguments. Especially if it's one that you won.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's something we're going to cover later on. That is
kinda
huge.
Just kind of needle that in and be like, well, remember this. Or, I would write then. And,
or one of those times where you think you compromised.
Yeah.
You were the bigger person, so you want to make damn sure you remind them of that for every argument here on. Well, you remember that time? I let you have your way. We both know you're an idiot. But I'll let you have your way.
You know,
this dick ain't gonna suck itself. So I mean, just
that escalated quickly. What just happened? Minutes. Did I land the plane safely?
Minutes. Just 5 minutes is all. Just five. No. And some of that's cuddle time. I ain't lying to you. But so we poke one another, and that's just all right. Exaggerating one another's position. Mm-hmm. And this would be the same thing as if Lloyd and I are having a political discussion. Mm-hmm. And he immediately goes, well, all you liberals are the same. That means we're no longer talking about apples. We've moved to oranges. Mm-hmm. You know, because he knows that's it's the same thing if you're having a racial discussion. Mm-hmm. Well, you just don't know because, or you're male, female. You have no idea what you're talking about because you're not a male. Mm-hmm. You don't know where I'm coming from. You're exaggerating the situation instead of talking about the details.
This or just is taking somebody else's point to the extreme. You know, they say that
to make it sound silly.
Yeah, to just take it to that most extreme, whatever. So, you know, with everything that's going on, we should reevaluate how police funding goes. Oh, well, you just want to get rid of all police departments, and it's just going to be mayhem out in the streets, and you're perfectly fine with that. Like that's.
Well, and even in a relationship, when you say, when you're like, you know, I really got upset when you said that to me. Well, I'll just never talk again. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
I'll just never speak. That's what, you know, so I mean, in bringing it, exploding it up so far, you can't remember what the detail was and how to get back to it. And at that point, you're just looking for a way to piss the other person off. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, I don't know about you guys, but when their argument happens, not... They're always, both of them aren't angry. There's a lot of times one of them's angry and the other one's just going, what's going on?
Yeah.
And sometimes if that second one doesn't get angry, the one that's actually angry says, I'm going to make you angry now. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're not taking this serious.
I'm going to get you on my level and then we'll have this out.
Right. I want to fight. I don't want you walking away from it. We need to swing at one another. Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. It's like sometimes in some arguments, you know, one person feels very passionate about a position. The other person is just like, can take it or leave it. So it's like, it's only worth arguing to a certain point. And then after that, it's like, there's really no point in arguing. But to the other person, they're like, no, no, this, I have to get my point across.
Well, you need your 5 pounds of flesh.
Yeah.
You have hurt me. You've pissed me off. And by God, I need to tell you about it. Mm-hmm. And if you look at that person and go, well, it really didn't matter that much to me. Oh, that's just going to piss them off even more. Mm-hmm. Now that it's making them feel silly for being this upset about something that in the grand scheme of things, yeah, they don't care about. So, all right, now, triggers. We're going to do a round table here. We're going to have at least 3 triggers for each of us. Ooh. And don't look at me like y'all ain't got no fucking 3 triggers.
I didn't do any show prep, my friend. Them,
though.
Well, that's clear. But yeah, 3 triggers that will immediately cause you to have a reaction. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to immediately get into a fight. Because we both know, or all of us know, in order mm-hmm. to have a fight, there needs to be 2 people to fight. No. Right? I can fight with myself. I am mad and no one's here.
No, we'll have this fight in my head. I'm good. I got it.
I've already won.
I already know everything I'm going to say. Okay. I know what you're going to say. I know what I'm going to say. We're done.
At this point, I'm just notifying you of the results. Now, all right, I think Lloyd looks like he's really, really struggling over there. So we're going to go to Caleb first.
Okay.
And I haven't got mine prepared either.
For me, I guess my biggest one is the, I don't want to talk about it right now.
Ooh.
Like, the fight starts, things are said, and then it's the, I'm shutting down. I don't want
to. The silent treatment.
Well, not necessarily a silent treatment.
That was mine. Don't steal that from me.
He took mine.
It's not the, I'm not going to talk to you because I'm mad at you. It's the overwhelmness of the argument. It's that I can't continue this argument right now.
They're going to unplug.
Yeah. They're just like, we're just going to stop this. And we might come back to it later. We might not. It might be tomorrow. It might be 3 days from now. I don't like that. I'm going to do it now. I'm mad. We're going to talk about this now. That's it. Like, it's,
you know what? I'm going to echo that.
So that makes me more mad that if somebody just shuts down, it's like, I don't want to talk to you right now. I'm like, you started this. Let's go.
there's reasoning on both sides of that that makes that sound like it's a good idea or a horrible idea.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it probably is the better idea of both people just need to step back.
Go get something to eat.
It's
right. Eat. It's 5 minutes, it's, whatever.
It's like a false start in an argument. It's like, okay, yeah. I need to penalize you, and we'll just reset again. It's like, that was a false start.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as we said, that may be a good idea. But to Caleb's point, what I think he, if I'm understanding, now, I can't determine, I have no influence on when this is discussed. Mm-hmm. You know, I've thought it through. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to put this thing, get through it, and put it away. But now I don't know when or if we're going to ever follow up on this. I may be having a fine day.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now you got me all fired up again. Right, right. So I don't have any input on when this is discussed. Mm-hmm. Now I've lost all control in this situation. And that's difficult for folk.
I'm really bad about that. I'm really bad about taking stuff like that to heart. Like that will just ruin my day, and I let it bother me probably way more than I should for a longer period of time than I should.
I agree. I can't live in conflict. If it's somebody, or if my dad and I have a disagreement, and we don't do that much anymore, but if we do, if he says something that kind of pisses me off, rubs me the wrong way, and I snap back, I hang up that phone, and it'll eat away at me. Mm-hmm. And I will call back as soon as I mean, honestly, normally it's relatively soon. I'm like, man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have reacted that way. I don't want to hope it goes away, and I don't want it not to be resolved. Mm-hmm. Because, and I have no problem as an adult saying, I'm sorry, I messed up. I'm saddened by people that have problems with saying, with apologizing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be a tough life. You know, to be such a narcissist to think you never say or do anything wrong. All right, but I agree 100%, Caleb. That's a great one. Now, Lloyd, you got some pressure.
Yeah. Well, you know, in our situation, you know, raising our son, it's like, you know, we I feel like our family situation has a lot more pressure on it, and just a lot of more pressure than maybe people realize and stuff. Unique pressure that not everybody deals with. So whenever one partner is having a bad day and they're raising their voice and they're getting frustrated a lot, you know, and so it's like, that's okay. That's okay. It's like, that's understandable. But when the other partner, you know, James, you being a loud person, understand this, is like, people think you're yelling when you're not. So when your voice is raised then the first time, so they're like, oh God, why are you yelling? It's like, you've been ranting and raving half the day, and I say one thing louder than my normal tone of voice, and suddenly I'm the bad person.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're dealing with somebody that's raw. Mm-hmm. Your partner is raw. And any little way that you touch them is going to be irritating. Mm-hmm. You know,
they're already in a heightened state. And then let's say, you know, whatever else happens to you that gets, you know, bumps you up towards that state, they're going to have a negative reaction.
Plus they're already waiting for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've been waiting for you all damn day. Thank you for stepping up. Let's have this thing out. But you're right. You're right. And sometimes people the other spouse not knowing or being able to have visibility on, I need to let them blow off some steam, or I need to give them some sort of an out for this, or let them go do something that may help them. And I have done that before, but what will piss me off is I've already put up with their sorry ass for about 2 hours, bitching and moaning about stuff that I don't know why they're bitching and moaning about. So I'm like, how about you just go take a bath? Because that'll do two things. Hopefully that'll help you to calm down and get you out of my damn face for about an hour. And what will irritate the shit out of me is when they come back and they're just as bad as they were when they left. You know, it's like nothing I can do. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll just need to have a sandwich for them waiting when they come back. If I'm still ugly when you eat this sandwich, we can keep arguing. But until then, eat. I like that eating thing. But I agree with you, Lloyd. Absolutely, yeah. For me, my number one trigger, it's not even close, is I don't feel like I'm being heard or I'm allowed to speak. Hmm. That somebody becomes – I had a girl one time. It's only happened one time, thank God. She had been yelling at me for an hour. I mean, my God, it was brutal. And to this day, I really don't remember what I had done. I don't know that it deserved that. But I couldn't get a word in. And finally, I said something. And she told me to shut up. It's only been said to me one time in my life. Look at Lloyd's face. Lloyd knows.
Yeah.
She told me to shut up. I said three more words after that, and she ran off another room crying because of how I said them. It brought out a beast in me that hadn't been out in a long time. When you tell somebody that's in a way emotional, you know, upset, whatever, that they can't be heard, that their voice is not valued at this point, man, that there's no way that ends well for anybody. I think that is one of those trigger words that should never be said in a relationship. Period. At my home, you don't say shut up and you don't say stupid. My kids know that, because at no point are those ever valid terms to use in a discussion. Caleb, you're next.
Well, mine would actually, I guess, kind of tie right into that, is the response of, I'm sorry you feel that way, but or you feel wrong.
I'm sorry for that you're not bright enough to agree with me.
Sorry you took it that way. You can't tell somebody how they feel about something, how they react to something that was said or anything like that. It's, you know, you have, if you're having a discussion or argument or whatever with someone, you have to accept the way they feel about something because it's the way they feel. You can't tell somebody they feel wrong. That's kind of a joke between me and Nikki all the time is if one of because we get in arguments about stuff and, you know, things happen and there's miscommunications and whatever, but, you know, I say something or she says something and I'm like, well, this, you know, you said this and this is what it led to, or I felt this or whatever. And, you know, we'll joke about something, but well, you feel wrong about it. I'm sorry, but you know, but it, if that were to come up in a legitimate argument, like if that was a legitimate response, I think to either one of us, honestly, like it would just piss the other one off more than anything. You can't tell somebody that they feel wrong about however they feel. Like it's just
that's kind of a bless your heart moment. Well, bless your heart.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, sorry, you're an idiot, but
or I love you, but
yeah,
my mom always told me you don't believe anything somebody says that comes before the but.
Yep,
but they're a great person. I mean, they're a good family. They're good people, but they kill puppies.
Yeah,
you know, he's a good kid. Comes from a good family.
Parents. I agree 100%. That's you don't apologize for someone else's.
or telling them that they're wrong.
Yeah, but in a nice way, a backhanded apology.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All right, Lloyd.
Well, I'm gonna the argument that that's gonna trigger me the most is no argument at all. The silent treatment. I'm mad at you over something that I think you did, but I'm not even going to give you the opportunity to learn what it is you did or how it could be fixed because I just don't want to talk about it and I'm just going to be mad, but I don't want to get past it. I don't want to let it go. I want to hold on to it, but not explain anything about it.
I don't want to give any opportunity for resolution.
No.
I just need to be pissy for the next 2 days.
Yes.
I've seen that used before, and it absolutely irritates shit out of me. You know, I've gotten into it before, and now this is a trick. You know, you're talking about the sneaky things people do in an argument. This is one of James' classic. Is I'll look at, let's just say a girl. I'll look at a girl and say, "What's wrong?" And you know, 9 times out of 10, what they're going to say?
Nothing.
And then. Now that irritates me. I'm going to use that one for mine. Is if your behavior has been so that it makes me think that something is not right, and I go out of my way to inquire, "Hey, is there something wrong?" Even if I'm being earnest with it, right?
Yeah, right.
And they come back and say, "No, I'm fine." And if I have to come back and ask again, now I'm angry and I have no damn idea what we're talking about because now I've had to pull it out of you. Right. I ask you in earnest, is there something wrong? Did I say something wrong? Worst thing is when you leave a gathering, a party, whatever, with your spouse, you get in the car and immediately you can feel something's wrong. And I'm trying me being, as Lloyd said, a loud guy. Many times I will say things inadvertently that I didn't mean to say that hurt someone's feelings. And sometimes, unfortunately, that's the person I'm with. And I'm just going through my head the whole time. What the fuck did I say? Was it when I said this? Or did it? You're going over your whole damn behavior and you look at your significant other and go, "What's wrong?" "Nothing." And you know damn well there's something wrong. But now my sneaky hack into that is, it immediately would give me a one-up, is if when I find out that actually something is wrong, I'll look at them and go, "You lied to me." So I asked you 3 times if something was wrong. Fine. Now, you lied to me 3 times and we're still the damn car.
Now they've received the penalty flag and now it's a 1st and 15.
Yeah. Boom.
Yeah.
And I still don't know what we're arguing about. So, but that's going to be my pet peeve is when somebody inquires as to if something's wrong and you don't give them the respect. Because honestly, I think a fair statement is, you know what? There is something wrong and I'm not ready to talk about it just yet. So give me some time. right? I need to sort through this. That's not fair, but at least you now know, yes, something is in fact wrong, right? Mm-hmm. So at least they were honest in their response. Or sometimes it's good. Somebody comes home from work. Lloyd, you come home from work, you're in a shitty mood. Your lady looks at you and goes, is there something wrong? I'm fine. You can actually look at her and go, there is, but it has nothing to do with you. I just need to veg for a minute. Mm-hmm. I think the more you communicate, obviously the better off it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. Your last one, Caleb.
So that was kind of going to be mine, was the opposite of what you just said. If I'm the one that's irritated about something, but it has nothing to do with anyone else or anything like that, and somebody is constantly asking me, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I tell them, nothing. What's wrong? Nothing. Everything's fine. Because I'm one of those that...
Did something happen at work?
Yeah. I'm one of those that if I'm in the middle of... I get into the middle of a project or something like that, I have that, you know, 20-minute project that turned into a 6-hour project. I'm still going through it in my head, trying to figure out what's going on and how I'm going to fix it and, you know, what the problem is, working on the cars or, you know, whatever. You know, I had a project that I thought would take me a couple hours. It turned into a 3-day project kind of thing. Like it just, you know, so I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I need to do this. I need to do this. How do I get this done? You know, all that kind of stuff. And it will take you out of whatever situation you're in or whatever else is going on around you. And that can come off to a spouse or significant other or whatever, as you're mad at them or whatever, because you are in that just distracted state all the time. And you get that, did I do something wrong? And are you mad at me? Whatever. I'm just like, nothing. I'm fine. I'm aggravated about this completely separate thing that has nothing to do with you whatsoever. And I'm just trying to figure it out in my head. So just, I'm fine. You know, I'm not mad about anything. I'm distracted more than anything. And it probably does fall back to that, is being able to communicate that, yes, and explain that to somebody. But in the moment, I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm thinking about this one thing and what I need to do to get it done.
Well, the hardest thing to do when you're in that mode, mm-hmm, is to talk about your feelings.
Yeah.
You know, to articulate, well, honey, this went wrong in the shop. Right. You don't have the patience for that.
Right. Like, I came home.
But just looking at him and going, you know what, give me an hour. Give me a half hour. Let me just go in here and – or give me 5 minutes. Because a lot of times that five minutes.
Back to that 5 minutes.
That can make James' mood a whole lot better. Yeah. I done forgot. I had a 5-minute vacation. I'm good. I do need to eat now, though. I have to have a snack after that every time. A Twinkie.
And maybe a moist towelette.
A Rice Krispie treat. A B12 shot.
So, the old treatment. For me, a lot of times it's situations, you know, whether it is something with hunting or, you know, my guns, or I'm working on one of the cars or something like that, that I would be more than happy to sit there and explain it to what's going on. But the other person sitting there is going to look at me with a blank stare because they're hearing is blah, 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 blah.
You're just raping their ear.
Yeah. They don't have a clue what I'm talking about. So it doesn't do me any good to explain it to you why I'm distracted or why I'm whatever, because you're not going to understand it and you're not going to care. So just leave me alone and let me figure it out. And same thing with, you know, work situations and stuff like that. Job I used to do, you know, I'd get a phone call, somebody would be pissed off about something, whatever, and I'd have to go through all of this stuff and different programs that we use and all these things. And if I was talking to somebody else that did the same job, it'd be really easy to vent to them and talk to them, because they understand what I went through and, you know, how to get through all those steps and everything. But trying to explain it to an outsider, you're just like,
Well, and I don't know about you.
To try to get into this, but
when you're talking about, especially work, if you've had a shitty day at work,
yeah,
and I come home, and my fiance looks at me and go, "Baby, did you have a bad day at work? What happened?" Now, a lot of people really find it cathartic to talk about work at home. They find some peace and resolution through that. In my mind, I've already given that place X amount of hours of my day. They're not paying me right now to live in my head. So I don't want to go. Number one, if I tell my fiance everything that happened, she can't do a damn thing about it. And to your point, Caleb, she has no perspective as what the dynamic is at my office.
Right.
Also, I'm never going to paint myself as being the one that fucked up.
Right.
So it doesn't benefit me at all to go into the details of that. And finally, you know, with my fiance, she understands that, and I'm fortunate in that regard. And sometimes she needs to vent, and I have to understand that, that that is cathartic and useful for her. But it's nice that she understands that but the only thing it does is make me angrier.
But sometimes you're just, that's just causing you to rehash what happened, and it's just making it linger longer, you know, so.
What's funny to me, though, is that I grew up with my, you all talking about, you know, your parents and Hatfield and McCoys and whatever was going on in your house, James, and everything. But I vividly remember growing up with my parents, and they'd get home from work. Dad got off earlier than mom, so he'd come home, and then she'd come home, and they, in their conversations through the night, Dad would literally recap his entire day from getting to work, you know, what all happened basically through the day and those kind of things. He'd get done, mom would recap her day of these are all the things that kind of happened and what she dealt with and that kind of stuff. I don't know how that habit ever got started for them.
It worked.
It was almost a daily thing. And it was just, and it may be because they did, you know, for a little while they actually worked together, like, or they worked in the same factory.
Okay.
That makes sense. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
it may have come from that. I don't know that when they did work in the same building, at least they were dealing with, you know, maybe the same people at different times and that kind of stuff. So they were just talking about, you know, what happened on their side of the floor and what happened on this one. But then, you know, even when Dad worked for a whole nother factory somewhere else, you know, that still happened, is they just come home and they just recap their day to each other.
And it's still a similar type of employment, right?
Yeah, it's still, you know.
If you work in an office, you can talk to other people about office things.
You know, that sounds like the old fashioned kitchen table conversation. Like, how was your day?
And that's kind of how it started. Is the, you know, how's your day? How was your day today? And it was just like, well, I got in on time, but this machine was broken, and I had to go see so and so and get this part and all this kind of stuff, and just whatever. Whatever happened to them that day, and they'd go through the whole thing. I can't do that.
No.
Nikki asked me, how was your day? It was fine. It was good. Well, when I worked for the state, it was, you know, how was your day? I took money from people that didn't want to pay it. That's how my day went. So.
And normally I will say, well, I made it through the day, and they're going to let me come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a good day. Yeah. All right. Lloyd, your turn for your last one.
I don't have a turn, but I don't have one. But I was just going to add that, you know, I've done pretty much the same job for 30 years, and different companies, different level of responsibility, different levels of management. And I've always said that, like, the best thing, that the best times of the job was when you could just go home and just forget about it. Like, your level of the job was that you got off work. You didn't think about that job again until you showed up the next day. Because at some point you're like, okay, I know that we already have this going in the morning. So as soon as I hit the door, I've got it. But the best thing was always just, I didn't have to worry about that. Even think about that job until you showed up the next day.
It makes me sad when I get emails from coworkers at 11:30 at night. And I'm like, what the fuck kind of life do you have? To where you're sending my ass an email at 11:30. When I know you're married, I know you got kids. Wow. This company is getting a hell of a deal by hiring you.
That was a big source of arguments for me and Nikki for a while too, is that I had a job where from 7:30 to 4:30 every day, they had me. And that was it. They didn't get a minute more. They didn't get a minute less. They got 7:30 to 4:30. And at 4:30 in the afternoon, I clocked out, and I did not think about that again until I clocked back in at 7:30 the next morning, because it didn't matter. Whatever was there at 4:30 will be there at 7:30 in the morning. And it's the same every day. It didn't matter. The job that she did
was much different. She had a lot more responsibility than I ever did in my job. So she was on the clock all the time, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because with what she did, you know, things can pop up. There were time differences that she had to deal with where people were 6 hours ahead of us, that they may be having issues at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning for them. Well, that might be the middle of the night for us.
Right.
Or whatever. And things like that. And that led to plenty of arguments about, yeah. you know, they're not paying you for this extra time or, you know, whatever, but
I think that's the difference between a job and a career.
Yeah.
Is when you have a career, 9 to 5's harder.
Yeah.
When you have a job, it's expected.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, my last one is, and it's no in particular order, and Lloyd will be able to attest to this as well as any woman I've ever been with, which is creepy for me to say.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
Is it will piss me the fuck off if I'm talking to somebody and they're not present when I'm doing mm-hmm. it. If it's in an office, if they're talking to me, I'm big into eye contact. Big into eye contact. If I'm not looking you in the eye when you're talking to me, I ain't listening to you. I have ADD. So I have to maintain eye contact. Or otherwise, I'm all thinking about something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to pay the person that's talking to me respect by looking them in the eye. And if I look you in the eye while you're talking to me, and when I start talking to you, you get out your damn phone, or you go on your computer, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I will call you everything but a white man. It started when I was in offices and somebody bring me into their office and ask me something, and I'm looking them in the eye. And when I start replying, they're looking at their damn computer monitor. Mm-hmm. That to me is the rudest thing you can do, is not be present in a conversation. If you don't want to pay attention, leave the damn conversation. But if you're going to engage with another human, they should take priority over that asshole texting you.
That's what I was going to say. Or if whatever is more important, just tell me that. Just say, hang on just a minute.
I got to take
this. Do whatever you got to do. Mm-hmm. And then talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's not.
This is my kid. This is my wife. This is work.
I'm one of those. I don't even need an explanation. I just need to hang on a second.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's all I need.
I want to give you the attention you deserve. Let me take care of this.
Because if I'm standing there and I come in, I'm like, hey, I got a question. And they're sitting there typing on their computer and they don't even look up. And they're just like, yeah. I'm like, you're not even listening to me. So what's the point of me even asking this, you know, talking to you about this?
Yeah. That's probably been one of my biggest challenges. And especially as we've become more of a technologically forward society. Is when I was a kid, and you've heard these stories, but it absolutely was true. If the phone rang during dinner time, we didn't answer it because they should know better than to call during dinner time, or they'll call back if they need something. Right.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we made it through a dinner in the last 5 years where one of us didn't look at our phone over something?
I know somebody was texting me about topics or some bullshit a while ago while I was trying to have dinner. So.
He's an asshole. He's an asshole. I'd block it if I were you.
What?
Lloyd's over going, I'm sorry. Humor doesn't get to the camper.
Yeah, that's right.
I was going to say, that's why he didn't answer. It's because he was probably having dinner. So.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, so I think we've become such a slave to it that, unfortunately, the people that have taken time out of their day to be face-to-face with you are no longer a priority. You know, and mainly because you may have a spouse at the other end of that phone going, I texted you 3 times in 15 minutes. What the hell were you doing? Because we've raised expectations as to what people should expect when they text us.
That's a good argument starter too, right there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like, you're like, people have been texting me and while we've been doing this, it's like, and I haven't got back to them. But it's like, some people are just like, I've tried, like I said, I've texted you 3 times. Where were you? What were you doing?
Well, a good friend of Lloyd and I's named Chris Blake, and he's a fan of the show, so he'll listen to this. He loves when we mention his name, even though most of the time it's never in a good way. When cell phones first came out, I got a cell phone, and he burned my phone up one day. I didn't want to talk to him. I didn't answer. I had voicemail. He wasn't leaving a voicemail, right? Well, he texts me the next day. He goes, I called and texted you all day yesterday. Where were you? I said, understand this, son. My cell phone is for my convenience, not yours. It's for me to be able to communicate with people when I choose to.
Yeah.
It's not a mandatory answer every time it rings. And a lot of times I'm like, why are they calling me? Their phone's in their hand. They could text me. This seems like something that could be covered in a text message. You know, so.
Yeah.
All right, finish this thing up, guys. I got four things.
Okay.
That a modern day prophet named Tony Robbins said. Tony Robbins, the man with the largest hands in the history of things.
Yep.
Tony Robbins said there are four ways to avoid an argument.
Okay.
See if you agree. Although the tense that he writes these in are really off, so I'm wondering why he gets paid for shit. Because this is verbatim. I've been making this stuff up. It says ways to avoid an argument. Reliving the past. That should be don't relive the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
But his point is have a very short memory of previous arguments.
Mm. Right.
And I think there's a double-edged sword, though, because I get frustrated if we've spent an evening on a thing, arguing, discussing, debating, whatever we want to say. We lost an entire evening on that topic. If 2 weeks later, the same thing comes up, then in my mind, we wasted that first night.
Isn't that like a Supreme Court judgment? It's like there's precedents already. It's like I refer to Baker versus Brown, where you agreed with me on this topic. Therefore, I don't have to go through the whole trial again.
Right. Don't make me waste another damn night on this.
It's one of those things. There's something to be said for forgive and forget, but really, it should just be forgive, and that's fine. You don't have to forget what happened. You know, if somebody wronged you or something like that in some way, you can remember that. You can still forgive them for it and everything be fine. But if they turn around and do it again, like you said, you know, you've had all this out. You've discussed it. You've had this argument. You've hashed it all out. And then they turn around and do the same thing again. You know, there's something to be said there that this is obviously going to be a recurring issue or a bigger issue or something like that. So you don't necessarily have to forget what happened just because you forgave someone of something.
You know, and I agree 100% with you, Caleb, and what I'm going to tell you is not the right thing to do. It's just what I do. I have learned to forget so I don't have to forgive.
Mm.
When bad things have happened to me by people whom I cared about, if I remember it, I can't forgive them.
Mm.
But if I forget it, then there's nothing to forgive. But now, normally by doing that, I remove them from my life as well.
Right.
Because seeing them prevents me from forgetting it.
I was going to say, because that's going to lead to a situation where if they weren't removed, then the same thing's going to happen again. And you can't just constantly forget it kind of thing.
But I don't want to harbor hatred to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I can determine that they're not somebody that I need around anymore. But even by making that decision, I don't want to hate them. I don't want to relive that, you know, and have that not being resolved. And again, anybody that's listening, both of you, that's not in a camper in a library, don't do it that way, because I'm pretty certain that's not healthy. Because we're talking about, I mean, there are parts of my life I don't recall, because I've had to exit somebody's memory that were involved with me during that time. So it's not healthy.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Do not. Mm-mm. Do not try this. These are professional actors.
James is the textbook for repressed memories.
Man, if it ever comes to surface, kids, just get a bag of popcorn and a helmet, because it's going to be fun to watch. Number two, Tony Robbins says, avoid confrontation.
Yeah, if you want to stay out of an argument, you just avoid confrontation altogether. Never disagree with anyone. Never voice your opinion.
So what are you doing? You're just following the path of least resistance.
Yep.
If you do that.
I don't agree with Tony on this regard. I mean, if you're going to lead a life that has passion in it, then at times if you are passionate and have values and standards, then you're going to have to confront others that don't. Right.
If you have any kind of morals or ethics or anything like that, at some point, that's you're going to have to stand up for that.
You know, just like
if you don't stand for something,
you're going to fall for anything.
You're going to fall for anything.
And to quote another great country song, you know, Tommy had to stand up to those Gatlin boys.
Yeah.
Because there were three of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing like a Kenny Rogers song that talks about gangbanging.
Nothing like a gangbang in an old country song.
You know, the more words of Kenny Rogers, don't let those Gatlin brothers gangbang your girl. Because daddy wouldn't like it in prison.
Yeah.
So I don't agree with this one. I think confrontation's healthy.
Yeah.
I think it shows that you're passionate about something. Mm-hmm. If you're having a discussion with your spouse about your child, then yeah, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
You may not, you can compromise. You can choose ways that you can get on the same page, but absolutely you need to stand up for yourself. So in this regard, Tony Robbins can suck our balls.
Yeah. If something's wrong,
with you should big be able hands.
To call it out.
Yeah. But call it out the right way, you know.
Yeah. Right. So, there's a way to go about it, but you can still.
And I think us on this podcast can attest to this. Competing to be heard. When it becomes a competition to just be heard.
Well, that's exactly what you just said about people not paying attention, being present in the conversation that you're having with them.
Yeah. And I love when people tell me about going back to that. Oh, I can do two things at one time. Can you? Yeah, you can. You can hear me, absolutely. But do you listen? You know, because I can skim a book, but if somebody tells me the context of that book, I'm not going to be able to tell them. You know, I have read the words, but I don't know the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go back into that. And the last one, and Tony, in this regard, he's right. He says, "Always be present." I think it's fair. And let's just briefly, real briefly, what's the right way to argue? We talked about all the bad things we can do, right?
Yeah.
You and your significant other, somebody that really matters to you, that you love, you are on opposite ends of something. What's the right way to conduct yourself?
For me, the right way to argue is listen. Don't listen to respond. Like that's... You know, you have to hear somebody out for what they're saying. Don't just
that's
listen.
Hard.
Yeah, don't that's just hard. Listen for your comeback. You know, what thing are you going to pick out and then start thinking about how you're going to respond to that? Just hear them out. Just listen.
I think you picked out the one thing I'm the worst at.
Yeah. Oh, I'm terrible at it because that's all I listen to respond. In my head is, you know, all the things that I want to say. As they're saying it, it's one of those things. I wish it was more in writing so I could like pick it apart. But
I agree.
It's hard to do, but
what's one thing you can do? Would you recommend to our followers that they can do to argue more effectively?
I would say that, you know, you don't have to be in lockstep with your partner on every single issue. So if there's some things you can't resolve, just, you know, don't try to be nitpicky about it. Don't try to bring it up all the time just to start arguments about it. You know, if you're going to be in a back and forth relationship, you just got to understand that you're not going to agree on every single thing. And that's okay to just not, you know, I mean, if there's something that you're really that morally or just really passionate about that you just have to resolve, that's one thing. But not every subject is that way, you know.
Right. And I think to your point, I agree 100%, is you have to be able to understand that, you know what, this isn't something that I can compromise on.
Mm-hmm.
But more times than not, I would hope that it is something that you can compromise on.
Mm-hmm.
That a resolution can come, and sometimes it means you stepping back from what it is you wanted it. You know, I know I've been asked to go places with my fiance that I probably didn't want to go to. But you know, how many times does she do stuff for me, with me, those 5 minutes? How many times do I get that she didn't want to do?
She don't want to do that.
Ever. If she does, she's well, we all know she has issues. She wants to be with me.
She's a hell of a woman.
She's, bless her heart.
God bless her heart.
Yeah. But I think my point would be is you don't have to win. You don't need to argue to win.
Mm-hmm.
this is not a competition. And this is something I have to continually work on. Mm-hmm. Because if there's a score being kept, I expect to win. Right? And a lot of times we look at arguments in pass-fail. Did you win it? Did you lose it?
If there's a right or wrong, I'm going to be right.
Yeah. Right. And I'm going to buy damn, I'm going to prove my point. Yeah. Regardless of what I have to do it. And another thing I'm going to add, and I can't stress this enough, don't call each other names. Mm-mm. You just can't do that. You can't look at somebody, well, just reverse it. Somebody that you love, somebody that has told you they're going to be with you till the for the rest of their life, looked at you and just called you stupid. Mm-hmm. You're an idiot. You're a dumbass. You're an asshole.
I think
you can't unhear that. You can't unhear that.
I think that applies no matter who you're talking to, though. Who you're in an argument with, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a parent, whether it's some other family member or roommate, social media, whatever. If you're discussing somebody, if you are discussing something with someone and your only response is to attack them personally, you don't have an argument. Mm-hmm. So just shut up.
We don't say shut up. We don't say stupid.
Okay. Then just stop talking because there's nothing else to say. If you're
just be quiet. Yeah. Just.
Yeah. If your only response is a personal attack on someone, whether it be their looks or their intelligence or their politics, whatever, and it doesn't actually fuel your argument in any way. It's just name calling at that point. Then just stop talking, because until you have a valid point to make, because it doesn't do any good.
Lloyd, what are you laughing about?
I was thinking about Seinfeld when Elaine was having the dealing with the bad breaker upper, and he told her that she had a big head. So from that point on, she was self-conscious, like birds would fly into her head. Just like, look at that, bird flew into a lady's head. It's like, that never happens. So it's like you say the personal attack and it just like sticks with somebody. And from then on, they're traumatized by it.
But I will say that if you don't give two rat's asses about somebody, maybe you're getting ready to break up, you're never gonna see them again, throw out the big head statement, especially to a woman. Because I know I got a big head. Everybody knows I got a big head. But a woman, if they're told they got a big head, that's gonna stay with them the rest of their life.
James tells them they have a big head right before he erases them out of his life.
I hit delete.
Never has to deal with it again.
This means you will permanently delete your file. Yes. It's always a yes. Is there any other little hints that you can give about how to fight the right way?
I think we said from the very beginning, the biggest thing is don't argue when you're hungry. So
take 5 minutes, get you a snack. And if you're still angry after 5 minutes and a snack, have at it.
Yeah.
James is still pushing for that 5 minutes.
Yeah. That's all it takes, guys. If you can take anything away from this podcast, take 5 minutes out of your day.
Yeah.
Get better partner. Good partner is what I'm saying. Good night, boys.
See you guys.